So that song says, when the tempter comes around. It doesn't say if he comes around. It means he's coming. And give me strength to turn him down. And you know, this is not talking about just sinful things that I want to turn him down about. You know, it can be just discouraging, troubling thoughts that come to my mind. When the tempter comes around, Lord, I want you to give me strength to be able to turn him down. And a lot of that happens here in my head. The thoughts that I'm thinking. Remember the scripture said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means when, as soon as I see this thought is taking me in the wrong direction. This thought is discouraging. This thought is how terrible things are. Help me to be able to take a hold of it and be able to see how great God is. And he is well able to help us. What I want to share with you today, if I could put a title to it, is three words. Run with patience. So if we took those three words, if it was a race and you're going to need patience, that means it's not just a sprint. It's not you're going to run 50 yards and it's over. You won't need patience for that one. You just need to take off running. But what got me thinking about this was Brother Ted Bach, 94 years old. You know what? In that amount of time, he had to run his race with patience. In fact, when he came down to the last, while I was staying there with him for 5 weeks, he was laying in a hospital bed. And you know what he was asking me? Dan, I want you to pray for me. I need patience. You know this, at the end of his race, he still needed some patience to be able to just wait on the Lord until the time that he would call for him. There's a verse over in Hebrews 10 and 36. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you know, this is people that's wanting to live for God, after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Do you have need of patience? Maybe say, nope, not today. I did yesterday, but not today. Well, keep on breathing. You're going to need it again. And I guess I won't ever see this verse, you have need of patience, without thinking of, I drive back and forth to Oklahoma City every day to work. And you know what? When you drive in traffic, you're going to have need of patience. So I'm going to work one day and I have one desire. I want to be at work on time. And I leave in plenty of time. But you know what? A traffic jam can change all that. And I can remember now right where I was. I was over at 122nd at the interstate and it was shut down. But I'm looking at my watch and I've got enough time if it'll just get to moving. But it doesn't move. And I'm starting to think in my mind, come on, I could still make it. But I'm getting closer and closer to 8 o'clock. And then I realize I'm not going to make it. So I'm going to call work and tell them I'm going to be late. And, you know, something's kind of stirred up inside a little bit of why wouldn't this move on that I could go. And I've never had this happen before or after. I had my phone to ding. Somebody is sending me a message. And on that day, a scripture was being sent out. Not by somebody I knew. It was just sometimes scriptures are just posted. And you know what? It was this one. It was like the Lord was talking through the roof of the car. You have need of patience. And I say, ooh, Lord, that's like you're talking direct to me. So I went home. I was telling Cheryl what a miracle that was. That the Lord talked to me about needing patience. She said, yeah, my phone dinged saying I needed it too. So I don't know how that gets sent around. But, you know, we can have things happen in our life that the Lord, if he could speak to us right at that time, he would just tell us, you've got need of some patience. And I thought of this long race that Brother Ted ran for 94 years. He went through a lot of phases. He came along just probably after the Great Depression. And all of the things that he faced in his life, his wife had died, I think, 27 years before he died. All of those things, he's going to have to, if he wants to keep on running his race, He's going to have some patience to run it. So I want us to start with a verse over in Hebrews 12 and 1. Because this verse is talking about all the people in Hebrews 11 that we can get examples from. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I was looking at this definition, patience, the suffering of afflictions, toil, calamity, with a calm, unruffled temper. You know what? That's not going to come natural for us. When something happens, and you know what? I don't have to say, you know what? I'm just a patient person. Because you know what? The Lord will send something to me that I'll say, I thought I was patient, but I need more of it. And I think what he wants us to do is when we're looking at this great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, but also I'm putting Brother Ted in there. 94 years old, he ran his race with patience. He is in that cloud of witnesses. And what he's telling us is there's some weights. And this one says the sin that does so easily beset us. But my desire is to have no sin in my life. So it can be just discouraging thoughts that want to beset me. Negative thinking. You know what? Negative thinking wants to come in on every one of us. And he says, let's run this race with patience, because this race could go for quite a while. There's another one, perseverance, a constancy in labor. While I'm working, I'm just continuing on with it. Not, well, this is too hard, I'm going to quit it. But to be able to have, this is my goal, and I'm going to keep pressing on to it. I want to be able to do that. There is a verse over in James that I was looking at this week. James 5 and 11. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. So look at those who have gone before us, not just in Hebrews 11, but people that we have known that gave us an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Then the 11th verse, behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, those who endured day after day. Brother Ted, you know what? Today, I'd count him happy. To have made heaven his home, boy, that's the utmost of happiness right there. We count them happy which endure. And then look at this part. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. I want us to think for a few minutes about Job. What does it say right at the beginning of Job, first chapter? God speaking of Job, that he's a perfect and an upright man. He fears God and he turns away from evil. But you know what? Trouble came into Job's life. Said his substance was great. You know, I'd be living for God too if everything is just going so well for me. But then there's a song that we sing sometimes. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind. You know, we're talking about we want to have some peace. We want to run this race with patience. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, because you're never alone. The God of the mountain, the one that was with me in the mountain, he's still God in the valley. He's able to be with us through all of those times. And his call to us is, I want you to just run this race with patience. So I want to look at the changes that happened in Job's life. And I saw this, Job in the 19th chapter. You know, Job had a great household. He had servants. To have those that many animals, he had a lot of servants. What happened to a lot of his servants? You know what happened to them? One of them comes back and he says, your servants were out in the field taking care of these animals. And our little group of people came, killed all the servants, took the animals, and I'm the only one left. You know, a lot of his servants died in all those things that were happening right at the beginning. When Job was able, with patience at the end of it, to say at the end of the first chapter of Job, the Lord gave it, and the Lord took it away. You know what? You want to be able to have some patience is be able to say that from the heart. The Lord gave me this, and it could be health. You know what I have to do is face it, that when I was having that sciatic nerve problem, the Lord allowed this to happen. The Lord gave me good health. The Lord has taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll keep on coming back to Him for the help that I need. So here's Job. He's lost a lot of his servants. But look at this change that has come into his life. In Job, the 19th chapter and the 15th verse. They that dwell in my house, my maids, count me for a stranger. So much has changed. He's out there scratching his body with a shell or something because he's got these boils all over. They that dwell in my house, my maids, count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. And then it goes on down in the 21st verse. You know, he had some comforters. He had three friends that came to be with him to help him through this trouble. We call them comforters, but before it was over, my Bible lists them as miserable comforters. They looked at his situation and said, we got some advice to give to you. So look at this one. He's talking to those friends, 21st verse. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. You know, that's quite a thing to say right there. God has allowed this thing to come into my life. Now, friends, would y'all have some pity on me? Because look at what they were doing when they looked at it. Because these kind of things, sometimes things come into our life that we're going to have to run this race with patience. Job, the 4th chapter, and in the 3rd verse. This is one of his friends after, remember, they sat there with him for 7 days, and they just looked at what was happening, and now they start to speak. This is talking, one of them talking to Job. Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Job, you went around when you were doing so well. You had concern for other people. You were looking at what you could do to help others. And now look at it, 5th verse. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. And now, Job, I want to tell you something, this 7th verse. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? What's his friend saying? Job, I have never seen anybody have this kind of trouble, and there's not something in their life that is going on. Who have you ever seen that was innocent that had this kind of trouble? You know, that's a big old problem with Job. But he's going to have to get a hold to something. He's going to have to run this race with patience, because his wife, does she stand by him? What'd she say? You're going to keep on holding your integrity. Now you've got boils. Why don't you curse God and die? He didn't have anybody that would stand with him. You know, we can sometimes go through life that we don't feel that we have anybody standing with him, with us. But he was able to have some determinations. He ran his race with patience. You know, even in this Job, the 19th chapter, on down there, after all these things are happening to him, he says in the 25th verse, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, I'm not able to understand why all these troubles are coming to me, but there's something I know. My Redeemer liveth, and he's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after the skin worms have destroyed this body, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. To do that, we're going to have to run this race with patience. The good times and in the bad times, we're going to have to say, here's a song. I mean to go right on, no matter what's happening. I mean to go right on until the crown is won, no matter what's happening today, good times or bad times. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'm going to never more turn back. Defeat, I shall not know. Defeat is when I'm through. I'm not getting up again. What does it say? Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets up again. That's not falling into sin. That's just one trouble after another hits him. And when it hits him, he gets up and keeps on going. And I want to be able to do that. defeat I shall not know, because God is going to give me victory if onward I shall go. And you know what? He gave Job victory as he went on. So I look at this. Here's some things that helped Job. He had some determinations. I want you to look at Job, the 23rd chapter, 23 and 8. Because Job wants to say, take him as an example for us. 23 and 8. I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. I'm calling out, I want God to be here and walk with me through this trouble, and I'm not feeling him anywhere. What does it say? Run this race with patience. Because he says something here in the 10th verse. And I want us to each one be able to say that when trouble is coming and we don't feel God right there with us. He knows the way that I take. Yes. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Because my foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So look at all these things. Here's a lot of troubles coming in my life. But here's one thing about it. And I don't feel his presence right now. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Then he had another determination. We looked at this song, I Mean to Go Right On. I believe he was saying it too. Job 13 and 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain my own ways before him. Now that's running it with patience there. I've got my good times. I got my bad times. I don't even feel his presence right now. But I tell you what, if this even takes my life, I'm going to maintain my ways before him. We want to be able to have that determination, because there's a verse that says, he that shall endure a while. What about for Brother Ted, if he will endure for 10 years? No. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We're going to have to take each thing that comes to us. That's in Matthew 24 and 13. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And now let's look at back here again at Hebrews 12, because Jesus had something for us to look at. Second verse of Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. You know what? We're going to have something to pattern our life after. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who we're going to do some enduring with patience. Look at this. What about if I could have this for my life when troubles come? Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For us today to run this race with patience, we're going to need to keep this in mind. Who for the joy that is set before us. Yeah. There's something out ahead for me if I will run this race with patience. But there are a lot of things that are going to come to me to cause me to not have patience while running this race. There are some things that's going to be a distraction to me. And here's one of them that wants to happen. It can happen to every one of us. In the last chapter of the book of John, Jesus has come. He's talking to the disciples. And then he singles out Peter. And it says, in the 19th verse, he just said two words to Peter, follow me. That's some pretty simple instruction. If Jesus would say to us, Dan, I tell you what, I want you to just follow me. So it's pretty easy. All Peter needs to do is follow him. But if something happened, Peter seeing him, 21st verse, saith, Lord, what is this man going to do? You know, in this running this race that I have to run, it is so easy for me to get distracted by looking at what somebody else is doing. I have got to keep, and I've mentioned this probably here before. My grandpa, he had no tractor, so he would plow behind a mule. And he had land that was right on the road, right on the side of the road. And I can still remember to this day, he would do something, keep that mule from getting distracted. He would put blinders on, and where the mule could only see straight ahead. You know, we're going to have to be able to do this, because if I'm going to run this race with patience, I cannot let happen to me what happened to Peter. Okay, Lord, I was planning to follow you, but I looked over here at what this person is doing, and it's got me distracted. I don't want to have that to happen. Here's another distraction that we can have. It's in Psalms 73. Because I can even say, you know what? I know the Lord is good. 73:1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. That's a good way to start a chapter. God is good. But then I look at it. As for me, my feet had almost slipped. How did it happen? I started looking around at the wicked, and it seemed like their life was much better than mine. They didn't have any bands in their death. Their strength was firm. They were not troubled like other men. And it goes on down and says, 13th verse, after looking at all these things, it seems like I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, because all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Look at the 16th verse. When I thought to know this, when I'm distracted like Peter was, and I'm looking around at what all is happening around me, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But I'm glad he didn't stop. I'm glad he continued to run his race with patience, because look how he found the help. The same thing that we can do when we come into the sanctuary ourselves. It seemed too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood the end for the wicked. And I need to just keep on plugging along. I need to be faithful to the Lord. And he came to that place in the 23rd verse. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. No matter what's happening around me that I notice, you're continually with me. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none on earth that I desire beside thee. So, you know, we can have the good times come to us. Psalms 23 starts out with the good times. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he talks about leading me beside still waters. That's the days. This morning I went out and sat on my dock again. Just a little breeze. It was so quiet out there that my ears were ringing because of all the noise I hear in Oklahoma City when I go to work probably. But it was so quiet, so peaceful. Those are good times. He leads me beside still waters. But what I'm glad about is he doesn't say that's the only time I'll lead you. Let's look at another one in Isaiah. Because I want us to have it, whether it's good times that we're facing or bad times, we can realize that the Lord will help us. In 43, Isaiah, and the first verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. In anything that's happened in our life, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. So in the second verse that he said, and because you're mine, you're not going to have any troubles come into your life. No. Here's what he does say. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Boy, that is a great consolation right there. Today, maybe everything's going good. It's like those still waters in Psalm 23. But tomorrow, what does it say? I'll be with thee through the rivers. They won't overflow thee. This is more than just that still waters that I'm sitting beside. This is a flood that's coming into my life. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. And I want us to keep in mind that, you know what? That same Lord back there that walked with them through the troubled waters, he will help us through our time too. But you know what? This is a long run. For Brother Ted, it was a long run of 94 years. At any place, he could have just said, I throw in the towel, I'm through. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Many there are who start in this race. You know, when we read about the sower and the seed, it talks about some seed being sown, and some of it came up so fast, it was just really quick. Many there are who start in this race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. The light that comes to us of God's dealings in my life. Others accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go through. So do I say, well, there'll be a lot of other folks that don't go through, so I guess I won't either. No, here's a determination. But I'm going through.
Yes.
I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. That's a determination that I need to be able to have. If you endure to the end, you'll be saved. I was reading about, you know, there are contests that test a person's strength. I was looking at one that's called the Ironman Triathlon. It's a competition race. And here's what all it involves. You swim for 2.4 miles. And then you get out. And you get on a bicycle. And you ride it for 112 miles. And then you get off. And then you run for 26 miles. To finish out the race. You know, we had at work, they had a competition called Dare to Stare. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked stairs much, but I decided, you know, I think I'm going to take the elevator because I can walk a few stairs and I am out of breath. But they came in with this competition that people from all over the United States come to it, and they will line up and they have something on their foot or hanging on their foot or something that checks to make sure they're running the race right. And they will start in our building, and they run up the stairs in one building of ours, and it's 21 stories. They run up it, then they cross over up at the top, and they run back down the other stairwell. And then they run across our atrium to another building that's all built together, and they run up 16 stories and cross over and come back down to the level. And then there's a bridge that takes them across the street. They run across the street and they run up 31 stories and back down again. And I have watched some of those that when they finish all that, I mean, they'd be carrying me out on a stretcher, but they finish all of that and it's almost like he has just started. He's not running fast, but he's still continuing on. What does it say for us? Run this race with patience. There are people that in a race, they just take off wide open. But this is a long race. This isn't 50 yards and it's over. For us today, it's a long race. It can be a long race. And we want to be able to be ready, to be able to make it to the end. So here's a verse in 1 Corinthians 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? But you just go ahead and run that you can obtain. You know, it would be easy to say, well, boy, that guy's up so much farther ahead of me, I think I'll just quit then. But no, this one is saying, I'm going to just continue on. It says in the 26th verse, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Those that are running in the race, there's another place where it talks about they do it to obtain a corruptible prize. You know, some of these, after all that running, after all that swimming, they might get something to hang around their neck to be a reminder that they won it. You know what? If we will just be faithful, we have something out ahead. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. To be able to do it, I've got to run today with patience, tomorrow with patience, And I just see Brother Ted laying there in the bed. He had been so active throughout his life, and now it's all changed in an instant. But instead of charging God foolishly, he didn't do it. The Lord gave. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now what I'd like to be able to have is, I want to be able to have victory in my life. And I want that for myself. And there's a verse that says, for me to be able to understand all these things and to run this race with patience. There's a verse over in Ecclesiastes 7:2. You know, we've gone to some funerals over the last few days. And that verse tells me, it is better for me to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. You know, I'd much rather go to a place where everybody is just happy and cheerful and things are going well. But he's telling us, I want to tell you something. There's a reason for that. You want to go, you need to go to the house of mourning. Go to the funeral home for some funeral services, because it finishes out that verse saying, because this is going to be the end of every man. Every person is a reminder to me, you know what? I'm healthy today. I'm at this funeral. I'm feeling healthy. I've been taking good care of my body. I can last a long time. But just remember, you know what? One day I will be here myself. And so I want to run this race with patience so that I can be able to make heaven my home. There is a song that says, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That could be for each one of us, our children that are following us, just people that we come in contact with. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. How much light is in my devotion to the Lord for my children, for my grandchildren to be able to see? May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. So remember that in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him, that was Jesus. You know what? He had come from heaven. He knew what was there. We don't know. We get some little glimpses in the scripture. We don't know for sure what it's going to be like. But we have a song, and I want to close with it. Number 373. There's enough things in the scriptures to tell us that, you know what, when my time is called, I would sure like to go there. 373, when this songwriter wrote it, the title of it is, what will it be to be there? The only way I'm going to be there is I'm going to have to run this race with patience, day by day, and faithfully follow the Lord. And you remember where Jesus is telling them, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You know, I'm going to have to be seeing in my mind, faith encourages me to be able to say that, you know what? There is, if I can enjoy this earth as much as it is with the nature that he's given us, what is heaven going to be like? Yes. When he says, enter into the joys of the Lord, just that there's no trouble, there's no sin. You find it back in Revelations. There's not going to be any more pain. There will be no more death. All those things will be gone. And I've got to have something that I can run with patience. So let's look at this song in number 373. And here, this is just the visions that people have had. There's a city of gold in that land far away, with its streets and its buildings so rare, with its glories untold and its bright golden ray. What will it be to be there? And then it says in the fourth verse, oh, the Lamb is the light of that heavenly home, and they need not the sunbeam so fair. There the darkness and the shadows of night will never come. Oh, what will it be to be there? I want to be able to make it, because there's also something else that wants me to cause me to run with patience. What would it be to not be there? To have let something come along through life that sidetracked me. You know, Peter could have let that sidetrack him when the Lord came along to him and said, Peter, just follow me. Don't worry about what others are doing. Just follow me. There are many things that want to distract us. But I tell you, I want to make heaven my home, and he wants me to make heaven my home. I'm going to have to run this race with patience, because You know what? All of us want to live a long life. Well, it means it's not going to be a short sprint then. It's not going to be a day and then I'm gone. I need to expect that I'll be here for a long time, and I want to be faithful and make it. Desire your prayers. Maybe we can stand and sing number 373. And it would be good for us when we're having these troubles to think about, what is heaven going to be like if I'll be faithful?